It's very comforting. It's very encouraging to know that you guys are here and are doing the work that you're doing. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And this actually verse was read last night, and all the messages this weekend have been great, and really appreciate all the preachers and what they do, and what they not just hear when they're here, but throughout the miles that they travel, the time of study that preachers put in is you don't even know unless you do it. You don't really even know all the things that go into standing in front of people and presenting the Word of God. It's very sobering because it's even though we joke and we have a good time and that's a good thing to do, but it's also a very serious business to do to stand and to preach and to teach the Word of God. And so I don't take that lightly, and I know these other preachers don't either. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." The sacrifice, Christ loved us, and he gave himself, given himself for us, and he became an offering. He became a sacrifice. He presented himself as the sacrifice. And I want to talk about that today, and particularly the type of sacrifice that he became. Look over, while we're in Ephesians, look over in chapter 1. In verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Through his blood. You know, a lot of times we gloss over the blood. And I know that there's denominations that are taking the hymnals out that reference the blood. And the blood of Christ is in the new versions. The blood, through his blood, in fact, I think, in this verse, if it's not this, it's the one in Colossians, is completely taken out. It's not there. Because nobody wants to talk about the blood. You know, when you see the pictures that they paint of the crucifixion, and Christ is up there, and he's just got like a little trickle of blood coming down his head. Like, it wasn't like going to the doctor and getting your finger pricked when Christ was on the cross. His blood was shed. It was a bloody sacrifice. He became a blood sacrifice because the blood is required. Look in Colossians, and Paul, it goes through there, and Paul talks about it all through, and I'm not going to get them all, but in Colossians chapter 1, again, verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Look in verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." The blood of his cross. You see, you required a blood sacrifice. It wasn't just that Christ had to die. There had to be the shedding of blood. And I want to look at that and look at some things as to why it's blood. And why did it have to be, why is it through his blood? You see, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them in the garden. They were perfect and everything was good. And then they ate of the fruit. And when they ate of that fruit, God had said, if you eat it, you shall die. And when that happened, blood, flesh and blood, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So this is the Sunday school hour. So we're going to have a little Sunday school. We're not going to do popsicle sticks though, Jerry. Sorry about that one. Notice in verse 50. Now this I say, 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood can't, you can't get to where God is because of your blood. You have blood running through your veins, and the blood running through your veins is defiled blood, and it can't inherit, it can't get to where God is. Notice in Leviticus. Turn back to Leviticus and look in chapter 17. When Adam and Eve fell, death passed upon all men. The Bible says it's by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for of all have sinned. And the blood is the issue here. Look in chapter 17, verse 11. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for souls. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Three times there it says the life of the flesh, of all flesh, is the blood. What does the Bible say about your flesh? It's bad, isn't it? It's vile. It's no good. It's wicked. You were born with a blood problem. And that blood, it gives life to your flesh. It feeds your flesh. It keeps your flesh alive. And while we're living in this flesh and in this body, we want that to happen. That's why we go to the doctor and we get our cholesterol checked and check our blood pressure. Why? Because if something happens to the blood, if it stops flowing, if it stops coursing through our veins, then that's it. We're done. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And the Bible says that Paul says in Romans that in my what? Flesh dwelleth no good thing. So why then is blood? Why is it the atonement? We read here in chapter 17 that he says that I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. The reason that blood is so important and why the blood of Christ was so important is because the blood shows the death. It shows forth death. The blood shows that something died there. There was death that took place. And that is our atonement. You see, we become enemies to God. We are enemies. We are born enemies in our flesh because the flesh is enmity against God. The flesh can't be subject unto the law of God. Our flesh can't do the things that is required for us to be satisfying unto God. Therefore, our flesh has to die. And our flesh has to die because we're enemies. And notice, that's what happened in Genesis. Notice in, turn back to Genesis and look in chapter 3. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit, he cursed the ground in verse 17. And then in verse 21, in Genesis 3:21, unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. He provided a sacrifice. He provided a covering for Adam and Eve. They tried to cover it themselves with fig leaves and it just did not work. He provided a blood sacrifice. That blood, and that continued to be a requirement. That blood sacrifice continued to be the requirement. When Noah, on the ark, there were seven. He took two animals by two, came in except for clean animals, clean beasts, took in by sevens. Why? Because he was going to have to offer sacrifice. He was going to have to offer that blood sacrifice. All the way through, it's been that way. All the way through. And let's look at another one. Let's look over in Exodus. And look in Exodus chapter 12. You see, Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. He is our offering. He is our mediator. He is the one who shed His blood for us. He is our atonement. Notice the Passover here in Exodus chapter 12. This, of course, just in the context here, Moses, they're in Egypt, and the Lord is getting ready to send the angel of death into Egypt, and the firstborn of every household is going to die. And this is Israel's Passover. Notice it says in verse 3, Exodus 12:3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." Now I want you to get a picture here. A lot of times we think here of this in the Passover, we think of it was the blood. And you know, we sing the song, and it is here, it's in the passage, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." But I want you to know there was more to this than just taking the blood of that lamb and placing it upon the door. They had to eat that lamb. They had to eat that lamb. I want you, with that in mind, and hold on to Exodus 12 and turn over to Romans. I want you to look in Romans chapter 5. Notice, let's just start in verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, there's the blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, and Paul says we there, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received what? The atonement. The atonement. And I don't remember who it was. It's been several years ago, but first time I saw this, and it was pretty cool at a conference, but somebody wrote the word atonement up there, and it's at one meant. Atone. At one. Well, think about this. We have now received the atonement. You see, Christ is the sacrifice. Christ His blood was shed. The blood was shed. Just like in the Passover there, the lamb, it was shed. Now, Paul never refers to Jesus Christ as a lamb. So I'm not making that analogy in that point that we're Israel and he's our lamb. What I'm saying is that his blood was shed. It's already been shed. The sacrifice has already been made. The blood has been posted there. It's been shed. What is left is for you to receive that. And you receive that by acknowledging that it was you on that cross. But just like Israel had to eat that lamb, by eating that lamb, they become one with that sacrifice. It become part of them. Now, we don't do communion and we don't say, you know, that it miraculously becomes the body of the Lord when you eat the wafer. What do you do? When you hear the gospel preached, when you hear that Jesus Christ is your sacrifice and he paid that price for you and his blood was shed for you, you receive that as if you're eating it and bringing it in and claiming it as yours. You receive it. It's already been done. The blood's already been shed. You receive that. You see, you're born an enemy. And that's what Romans says here. It says, when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God. Reconciled is a past tense verb. Already done. There's nothing right now separating you from God. Why? Because God poured his wrath upon his Son. He paid that penalty for you. He paid the wages of sin for you, which is death. He shed his blood for you. All you need to do is receive that. All you need to do is accept that it's already been done and trust in that for your salvation. Amen. You have peace. He is offering a peace to you. The Bible says that the wicked... Look over in Isaiah. And look in Isaiah 57. In verse 19. Isaiah 57, verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters are cast up in mire and dirt. The wicked. Now, automatically people, when people read the wicked, they automatically think of somebody else. They start thinking of people who are wicked. You know, because that's what your flesh does. The ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. I work with middle school kids every day. And they are just at that age figuring that out. Because they never do anything wrong. It's always somebody else. I mean, it's amazing. Well, they made me do it. I mean, I've even had them tell me that their justification in something that they've done is because their friend told me to do it, so it's their fault. You know? But that's what we do. But you know who the wicked is? The wicked is anyone born in this flesh. It's every single person born is wicked and alien. Look, there's no rest there. There's no peace. There's nothing to hold on to. It's like you're tossed to and fro and there's no life raft and you're just trying to keep there's no rest. But notice in verse 31, there is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. But what's the answer to that? Look back in chapter 32. In verse 17, in Isaiah 32, verse 17. And the work, notice it's a work. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. The work of righteousness was the work that Jesus Christ accomplished for you on the cross. And it brings about peace. It brings about satisfaction to God the Father. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, I was right there with Him. When God sees me now, He doesn't see my flesh. He doesn't see my wickedness. He doesn't see that. He sees His Son. Because I've received that atonement. He sees me as dead. Because you see, Jesus Christ's blood was innocent blood. But if you read, and I don't have time to go into all the references, but throughout the Old Testament, there's something that in Proverbs chapter 6, there's seven things listed there that God hates. And you know what one of them is? The shedding of innocent blood. You know what? Jesus Christ took my sin and your sin. That's how His blood could have been shed. God couldn't have shed innocent blood. He became guilty because our sins were placed upon Him. He became sin for us. And therefore His blood was shed. And He died your death. He died for me. In my place. That's why death is abolished. Because He died it. He died to die. And He rose again. And because of that, we have peace. Look back in, go back to Colossians. In chapter 1 again. We read this, but I want to read it a little. This and a few verses after it in Colossians 1, verse 19. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That's a blessing right there. We were aliens. We were enemies. And notice how we were enemies. We were enemies in your mind by wicked works. It starts with the mind. You see, the Bible says that even the plowing of the field is wicked to God. Why? Any work that we do in our flesh can't be accepted by God. It's wicked. It's seen as wicked. So in our minds, the work that we do is wicked. It's wicked because of the fact that until we receive that sacrifice, there's nothing good we can do. There's nothing we can present to God. Notice who does the presenting here. In verse 22, in the body of His flesh through death to present you. He presents us in Him as holy and unblameable and unreprovable. There's nothing in our flesh that can be holy and unblameable and unreprovable. He presents us that way in Christ. He's the peace. He provided the ransom. The Bible says that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that that He paid the ransom by one man. Well, let's look at it. I don't want to misquote it. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He's the mediator. He's the ransom. It's His blood sacrifice. It's His peace that He's offering to you today. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're sitting in here today and you don't know whether or not if you died right now, if you would, where you would go or what would happen to you, let me tell you, Jesus Christ wants you to be saved, and He is offering to you today a peace that you will never accomplish anywhere else, and you'll never be able to get it out of reading a book. You'll never get it out of going to therapy. You'll never get it out of reading, watching Dr. Phil. You will only get it by receiving the atonement. Amen. By receiving that sacrifice, and you can have peace. I had, for years, I came to this Bible conference, and I went to the other Bible conferences, and I heard the gospel preached, and I know what it feels like. There might be somebody here that was just like I was, sitting in a room full of people, and you feel totally alone sitting in a room full of people because you believe that everyone else around you is saved and you're not. And you don't know what to do about that. I know how that feels. I sit there and I would try to rationalize it, as Brother Dan was talking about. I'll try to rationalize my salvation and deal with God and talk to Him about, if I'm not saved, then I'm going to trust in You now, and then, well, I must have not been in the right frame of mind, so I'm going to try. And all of this going on, sitting in a pew, and nobody even knew it was going on. There might be somebody right here, right now, that's thinking, I would love to be saved. Your heart might be beating. You know, God is offering this peace today, but tomorrow He may not be offering this peace. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This offer of peace that you're given an opportunity to receive right now, it is a limited time offer deal. Because if you die, it's off. If the rapture takes place in the next 5 minutes and we're taken out of here, the deal's off. It's right now. Right now, receive the sacrifice that has already been accomplished for you. Claim it as yours. The Lord's holding it out there, offering it to you. Just receive it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He's already reconciled to you. Will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right now? Committing your salvation to Him, I guarantee you if you do that, you will have peace. Amen. Thank you.